Many of us remember when we were growing up that families would come to our place or we would go to another place. I remember many Sundays where we went to, say, people like Jim Hurst and Paul Weavers and so like that, or to Eugene Burford's. I remember that, going there or them coming to our place, and we had a nice time together. We talked to each other, and we children played with each other, rode bikes and played Grey Wolf and kickball and softball and things like that. But we enjoyed that. That was formative in our lives. And so I think it's important that we teach the principle of hospitality in our settings. Possibly, very possibly, we are losing some of the hospitality of the past, and I'm jealous for that we do not lose our hospitality as a church. I know it's for you young families, it's maybe a little intimidating to invite people to your older ones, especially at your place, but for hospitality and so forth. But I guess I would like to look at it this morning from a biblical perspective. And I would like you all to turn with me to Romans 12 and verse 13. In Romans 12 is a very, very important passage of Scripture. It's very powerful. Somebody has said that it is the Sermon on the Mount in short, abbreviated. But Romans 12:13 says this: distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. So the title of the sermon this morning is A Church Given to Hospitality. A Church Given to Hospitality. I want to look at this from three different perspectives. One is the precepts of hospitality. Forget what the second point is right now, the principles of hospitality and then the practice of hospitality. I want to make this practice, I want to make this very practical this morning. First of all, the explanation of the word given to hospitality. Given is to pursue, to follow after, be intense, press toward. In other words, you're given to hospitality. You're seeking for choices. You're seeking for opportunities to be hospitable. And you are yearning for the chance to be hospitable. Pursue, follow after, be intense, and press toward. Those are some of the definitions of the word given. Now, hospitality, the word hospitality is, the definition for that is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Hospitality is twofold. It's one for the brotherhood, one for the people that you like to be around. It is also specifically for strangers and visitors and strangers. And so we want to keep both of those in mind this morning as we go through this thinking on hospitality. But I guess I feel that hospitality should be part and parcel of the Mountjoy Mennonite Church. As I implied earlier, that generations going before us, it was very, very much part of our lives in being able to host guests and so forth. I remember as I was growing up, my dad was a minister, and my mom, before the host and hostess days, she prepared a meal for company every Sunday in case somebody came. So maybe that's why I look the way I do. I'm not sure, but that's what she did. So the question then is, how often is given to hospitality? How often does that make us be hospitable? How often is given to hospitality? Once per year? Twice per year? Or possibly a lifestyle of being hospitable? Just, we're pursuing being hospitable. Eleanor Roosevelt once said this. She was the wife of President Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt, I guess it was, Eleanor. She said this: true hospitality consists of giving the best of yourself to your guests. True hospitality consists of giving the best of yourself to your guests. Another quote is, the heart of hospitality is about creating space for someone to feel seen and heard and loved. The heart of hospitality is about creating space for someone to feel seen and heard and loved. So when you invite people to your place or you are hospitable to them, you want them to be heard and loved, to feel like they are somebody. Another person asked this very insightful question. He asked this question: isn't it strange to see how a good dinner reconciles everybody? And that is true. A good dinner helps reconcile everybody to each other. It usually isn't doctrinal definitions or exact practice of the standards that draws people into a brotherhood, but how they feel about the church and how they feel about the church's friendship and camaraderie that they really sense and feel when they go there. A feeling of acceptance and a place they enjoy worshiping is a church given to hospitality. I appreciate our church in the sense that we are hospitable. We host many meals here for the neighbors. Thanksgiving, we do it. The chorus evening, we do it. And we'll do another one this week for summer Bible school and invite the parents and the children to be part of that. I think that's all a wonderful expression of hospitality. So I want to look first at the precepts of hospitality. Turn with me, and we're going to be traveling through the scriptures this morning. Turn with me to 1 Peter 4,
7 through 9. The precepts of hospitality. First Peter 4, 7 through 9 says, "But the end of all things is at hand." Jesus is coming soon, friends. The end of all things is at hand. Get that? That's part of this message. "Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Then the verse that I went for this morning specifically is, "Use hospitality one to another." Let's all read it together. What are the next two words? "Use hospitality one to another," everybody together, "without grudging." What does that mean? That means without complaining, and we do it cheerfully. These verses in Peter teach us that it is part of fervent charity that overlooks faults in our fellow brethren and sisters. It doesn't mean there that you just allow sin to go on, but it overlooks their idiosyncrasies or their things that are just a little bit different. And then it tells us to prepare for the end of all things by using this hospitality. Jesus is coming soon, and Peter says that it has something to do with people getting ready for the coming of the Lord. So that is Peter's words. Let's turn to Hebrews 13:2. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." You see that visitor in church that you never saw before? You don't know? And you ask him to come to your place for lunch? You might have entertained an angel in disguise. You might have done that. That's what the Word of God says. We heard this morning that we should believe the Word. Then in 1 Timothy 3:2, it says, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior, given to hospitality, and then apt to teach." So the requirement for church leaders is this. One of the requirements for church leaders is that they pursue hospitality. Titus 1:8 says, "But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate." That is another admonition to leaders, that they are a lover of hospitality. And the early church in Acts 2, after Peter preached that powerful sermon on Pentecost Day, and the church was born, this is testimony to the early church and what they thought about hospitality. It said, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." When they were truly filled with the Holy Spirit, and why they had hospitality. They went from house to house and they ate together and were glad and had singleness of heart. The judgment will reveal those who have entertained strangers. Talks about it in Matthew 25, and you know, those that have entertained strangers, those that have helped the poor and the ones that are in prison, And then the verse in verse 40 of Matthew 25 says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So hospitality is important enough, dear ones, that it's going to be a criteria by which you get into heaven. It's that simple. That's the precepts of hospitality. I'm sure there could be more. Now let's go to our text in Romans 12. And I'm going to read from Romans 12:9. I could profitably read the whole chapter, but I'll read from Romans 12:9 through verse 15. Let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, being pure. Let love be without hypocrisy is what it means. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Dear ones, that's also a principle of that we want to look at. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, I just simply ask you this question on this. How can we be kindly affectioned one to another unless we are face to face? I realize that today we can text and we can express our love in texts and messages and so forth, but nevertheless, being kindly affectioned one to another is being around each other. In expressing brotherly love. And when we rejoice with those that do rejoice and weep with them that weep, in verse 15, that requires face-to-face hospitality. So let's never forget that hospitality is very, very personal and must be done face-to-face. I would like to look at the principles of hospitality this morning and then the practice as we finish up the message. The principles of hospitality is, number one principle is simply this: because we love each other. Because we love each other. How do we prove our love toward one another? How do we prove our love toward one another? Well, we prove our love for each other by doing acts of kindness toward other brethren and sisters in the community and the church. Let's go to 1 John 4. Let's go to 1 John 4. First John 4, verse 8 and following. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It is very simply stated here that he that loveth not knoweth not God. You don't love your brethren, you don't love God. That's what that principle is there in verse 8. in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God manifested his love by sending his Son into the world. He did something that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love. This is a demonstration of his love, is that he sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the atoning sacrifice, for our sins. What we talked about last Sunday in communion. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So this morning, we can sit here and we can say in a morning like this, we can say, we love you, we love you as a brother, but until you are willing to do something, it's not true love. True love is expressed by doing things of love towards each other. I mean, how does your wife know that she is loved? Well, you tell her that, but if you don't fix her rototiller, or you don't buy her flowers once in a while, she can only go on what you say, and it's not really an expression of true love. But living out principle, we love one another. When we show we love each other, and what we're talking about this morning, and there's many ways we can show we love each other, but I'm talking this morning about hospitality. That we show we love the brethren and sisters by asking them to come for a visit, or going to their place for a meal, or whatever else you might determine as hospitality. How can you show your love for your brethren and sisters without asking them to slide a chair under your table and eat with you, or to have a cup of coffee with them? How can you really do that? Well, I think the scripture in 1 John behooves us to do something in our doctrine of love that people understand that we truly do love them. I realize that our affluent economy militates against providing hospitality. We don't need anything from we don't really need a lot from our brethren anymore, but we have enough money to buy our own things, to buy our own coffee, to certainly have enough money to buy our own food. But when we go to a brother's place, brother or sister's place, and sit down and look them in the eye and have a cup of coffee together and talk about the serious things of life, about raising your children and church life and so forth, that is having true hospitality. The second principle I have here for hospitality, why we have in a church given to hospitality, is that true hospitality breaks down barriers. We know there are barriers that come between brethren and sisters in the church. That we suspicion things about others and so forth, and we know there are barriers in the church. Jesus came into the world for the cause of breaking down barriers. Socially, backgrounds, economically, personalities, and so forth. He even came to break down the social barrier between enemies. He desegregated the segregated people of the